is a joy to be with you all this morning, and we're going to be continuing our study on the attributes of God, and we're going to be looking at the immutability of God, or his changelessness, this morning, out of the book of Malachi. So let us turn in our copies of God's Word to Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, and that can be found in page 954 in the pew Bibles in front of you. So let us turn to the last book of the Old Testament together. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. And if you're able to, let us stand and read together. And the Holy Spirit says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." And let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you are not like us. You are perfectly holy, righteous, and good. You are infinite and perfect in every way, and our only hope for salvation is in you. May our trust not be in man or in anything in this world, but only in your mercy and grace. With the prophet Jeremiah, we declare that your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. You do not change, and from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. We thank you for your great mercy toward us as sinners who are redeemed through the suffering of Jesus, our Savior. Through faith in him, we triumph over the world, the flesh, and the devil. You have not left us to despair, but have given to us your Son, Jesus, your Spirit, and a hope that does not put us to shame. In Christ, we have redemption, reconciliation, atonement, forgiveness, and a clean conscience from the defilements of sin. We rejoice that we have assurance of our eternal salvation, because it does not rest in our works, but on your grace. O Lord Jesus, you are an all-sufficient Savior. Your blood is the blood of God incarnate, and it avails to make the greatest of sinners clean. There is a fountain opened for us through you to wash us and make us new. So make us joyful by making us more like you in perfect holiness. May we delight in your word, sit at your feet as you teach us, and worship you in spirit and in truth for all that you have done for us. May we continue to develop the spiritual gifts you have given us, that we would be good stewards of all that you have given to us, including our precious time. As we turn now to your word, may we leave this place with a greater zeal for your good news, a greater desire to share his love with others, and a greater resolve to fight the good fight of faith by fulfilling the calling you have given to us. Grant us courage, grant us wisdom for the living of these days in this world that so desperately needs the gospel that we have. And we ask all these things by the authority of the name of Jesus, our risen Savior and Lord, by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Amen. And you may be seated. One of the most precious truths in the Bible is that God does not change. God is immutable or changeless, which distinguishes him from all creation that does change. What God eternally has been, he always will be. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when God acts in creation, it is not God who changes, but it is we, who, his creatures, who change when God acts in the world. Creatures change in response to the world around them. Creatures change, improve, and grow over time, but God does not, because he is already perfect. If God could change, God would not be a perfect being, because if God changed, he would either change for the better or for the worse. But God cannot do that, because he is already perfect and infinite in every way. The Bible teaches that God is unchangeable in many different passages, and I want to read to you some of those passages this morning. In the book of Job, chapter 23, verse 13, it says, "But he is unchangeable, and who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does." God is immutable. He does not change. He is sovereign and all-powerful. God is all-powerful, unchangeable, eternal, and perfect in who he is. God is self-existent and self-sufficient in himself, and he depends upon no one and nothing for his existence, whereas we, his creatures, are dependent upon him for our existence. God is perfect in himself. He is the great I Am. He says to Moses that I am who I am. God has all life in himself because he is eternal life. God is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who was and is to come, and he always has been God and always will be God. In Psalm chapter 102, verses 26 through 27, the psalmist says about God in contrast to creation. Talking about creation, he says, "They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end." God is unchangeably the same in contrast to creation that is always changing, that is always in a state of flux. As the old hymn says, "We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but not changeth thee." A common metaphor or word picture in the Bible that is used to describe God is that of a rock. God is like a rock because he does not change. He is immovable. God is like a mighty mountain that is the same year after year, though everything around it changes. Because God does not change, we can put our trust in him. God is a shelter from the storm. Though the world is changing, the Lord does not. As David says in 2 Samuel 22, he says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. For who is God but the Lord? And who is a rock except our God?" Indeed, God is our strong tower. He is our strong fortress that we run to and are safe and secure in him, because he does not change. The book of James, the New Testament, was written to Christians who were suffering persecution and trials because of their faith in Jesus. And James writes in that book how God's unchangeableness is a comfort to his saints. He says in James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Shadows change over time. If you look at a shadow on the ground, it's going to change because the sun changes. As the sun moves throughout the sky, the shadow changes in response to the sun. But not so with God. God is not like a shadow that changes over time because he is immutable. God is the Father or creator of the heavenly lights. God created the sun, the moon, and the stars in the sky. And every night, the sky changes. Every time you look up at the sky at night, it is different than the night before. But it is not so with God. God created the stars that change, but he himself changes not. He experiences no change in himself. And because he does not change, we can therefore trust in him and depend upon him and rely upon him in our trials. When we are suffering, we know that God does not suffer. We know that God is immutable and changeless in every way. God is sovereign and in control of the universe. He is in control of all things. And therefore, we can rely upon him in our suffering. And God knows what he is doing when we go through hard times, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God knows what he is doing when you go through trials, when you lose loved ones, when you are sick, when you are in the hospital, when you are suffering emotionally, spiritually, or financially. God is the same, and he is still in control, and he knows what he is doing in your life. God's character and attributes do not change because he is the same forever. And the book of Hebrews talks a lot about God's immutability. The book of Hebrews was written to Christians who are suffering persecution for their faith in Jesus as Jewish believers in him. And he writes in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same forever with respect to his divine nature. The author of Hebrews applies God's immutability to Jesus Christ, which is another evidence for his deity, because only God is unchangeable. Only God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has always been the same with respect to his divine nature, but he truly died on the cross with respect to his human nature. He truly died and truly rose again as a man, as the one who is both fully God and fully man in one person. And because God does not change, his purposes in the world do not change. His plan does not change. His purposes are the same forever. His eternal plan will always come to pass. As he says in Numbers 23:19, the Holy Spirit says, God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Because God does not change, his mind and his plans do not change. His eternal purpose in the world will prevail. God's mind doesn't change. God doesn't go through mood swings like you and I go through. God doesn't experience the inner emotional flux and change that we go through as human beings. Because God's attributes are not changeable emotions, but they are perfections, which are infinite in every way, and therefore not subject to change. He is always perfectly the same, and he is infinite in every way. And so let us look this morning at our text in the book of Malachi, which is going to talk about God's immutability and how his changelessness is relevant to us today as his people. It says in the book of Malachi in chapter 3, verse 6, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." The book of Malachi was written to Israel after their return from exile in Babylon. In 586 BC, the people of Israel were taken captive by the Babylonians, and the city of Jerusalem was destroyed. And they were living in Babylon for 70 years until the Persians came and conquered Babylon and let the people go home. And the Persians actually helped the Israelites return to their land and actually pay for the building of the temple, because they wanted to win the favor of the peoples whom the Babylonians conquered. And the people in Malachi's day, which is the very last book written in the Old Testament, the people were in danger of committing the very same sins that sent their forefathers into exile. And so God sends them the prophet Malachi to warn them to turn back to God, to not fall into these sins that sent their ancestors into exile, to not repeat the same mistakes of the past. And the people of Israel indeed had changed. They were in the process of turning away from God. And God says here that I do not change. It is not God who has changed. Rather, it is Israel that is changing for the worse. It was Israel who changed when they rebelled against him. And if God could change in his relationship to his people Israel, they would have been destroyed long ago. God would have destroyed them long ago for their sins. But because God does not change, his covenant and his promises with Israel do not change. If God could change in his relationship to them and to us, then they would have been destroyed, and we would have been destroyed long ago. Because God does not change, he does not change in his promises. God does not lie. God will always keep his covenant promises to Abraham, their forefather. And Israel has not voided their title to the land of Israel in spite of their sins. God has been faithful to them and has brought them back to Israel after being in Babylon for 70 years. And God's unchanging purpose for his people and his promises flow from his unchanging character, attributes, and essence. Or as one author put it, he wrote, "Because God does not change in who he is, he does not change in what he says and does. Because God does not change, his words do not change. His promises do not change. Because his character does not change, he will never change in the way that he acts toward his people. God will always be faithful to his people and will always keep his promises to them. And though it may appear from our perspective that God has changed, he has not. Rather, it is we who change. It is we who fall under God's discipline when we stray from him. And God disciplines us for our good to turn us back to him." And God's faithfulness to Israel ensures that Israel will exist, that the people of Israel will never cease to exist. And Israel's continued existence is evidence of God's faithfulness and changelessness. And the city of Jerusalem today is still standing. The city of Jerusalem has been destroyed many times throughout history, but even though Israel has been destroyed many times, nevertheless, it is still standing today. But in contrast, the city of Babylon was destroyed, and the city of Babylon in modern-day Iraq has never been rebuilt. There is no city of Babylon today, but there is still a city of Jerusalem today, because God has been faithful to his promises to Israel as his people. In spite of Israel's many sins, God's covenant with Abraham has not changed. God hasn't changed his mind about Abraham and his covenant with him, even though they have been unfaithful and sinful. And while men do change, while men break their promises, while men do lie, and while men change in their relationship to us, God does not change because of who he is. God will never break his promises or go back on his word or change in his relationship with us because he is the same forever. His word does not change because he does not change. And in light of God's goodness, Malachi, through the Holy Spirit, calls upon the people of Israel to repent. God calls upon Israel to repent of their sinful ways because of God's faithfulness and goodness to them. And God's kindness is meant to lead us to salvation and repentance. Because God has been good to them, he calls them to turn back to God. It is not God who has changed, it is them who has changed. And he calls them to change their ways, to consider their ways and turn back to God. And that is our need as well. We need to consider our ways and to turn back to God because we have changed. Because we have strayed from God, he calls us to return to him in true revival and repentance, to consider our ways and to go back to him because he is still there waiting for us as the God who is changeless. Indeed, if God was a changeable being, if God did change, we would have no hope for heaven. We would have no hope for salvation if God did change, because he would destroy us long ago for our sins. God would have destroyed us for our sins long ago, but God is patient and kind. God is patient with us, and he is waiting for us to turn back to him. He is waiting for us to repent, to go back to him in faith and repentance, and he will accept us as we are in Jesus. If God could change, that would be a scary thought. Because if God could change, he could change in his relationship with us. God could go back on his word. God could change his mind about us if he himself could change. If God could change, that would create the possibility that God could stop loving his children, that God would one day change his mind about us and condemn us for our sins rather than save us. As if the saints in heaven 10,000 years from now could be cast into hell if God could change his mind about them, if God could stop loving them as their God. But because God will never change, he will never change in his relationship to his people. His promises will never change. His love for his people will never diminish because his love for them is perfect in Jesus, his Son. And he loves us through Christ, his beloved Son. God's love for us will never increase or decrease because it is already infinite through Christ. And this passage teaches us that we should not think that God changes when we do, or that God changes when our circumstances do, or that God changes when God disciplines us for our sins. Because when God does that, it is not God who has changed, it is we who have changed. And God calls us to change and turn back to him, the one who changes not. And he is still the same unchangeable God when we are suffering, and his promises are still the same. And so this God who changes not is both infinitely loving toward his people and infinitely just and wrathful toward wicked sinners who deserve judgment, who are unrepentant. God is both loving and just at the same time. He is both merciful and wrathful at the exact same moment of time. And so it is not God who changes, but it is we who change. God responds to people based on who they are and their standing before him, whether they know Jesus or not. And so to use an analogy I've heard before, God in some ways is kind of like the sun. Of course, the sun changes all the time, but God is like the sun in the sense that when we look at the sun, When we see the sun through different colored glasses, it may appear as if the sun changes. So if you look at the sun through a piece of glass that is red, it appears as if the sun is red. Or if you look at the sun through a piece of glass that is blue, it might appear as if the sun is blue. But the sun is not red or blue, it is yellow when you see it as it is. And so God does not change, but it may appear as if he has changed. So if someone who is a wicked sinner looks at God and God in his judgment toward him, it may appear he has changed. And we who are saints, when we look at God through Jesus Christ our Savior and through the shed blood of Christ, we see him as he is in his love, in his mercy, in his faithfulness, in his kindness and compassion toward us who are in Christ. And so it is not the sun that changes when we see it through different colored glasses. It is merely our perspective that has changed of God. Our perspective changes of God over time, but he himself remains the same. And so when we are saved, when God saves us and forgives us and translates us from condemnation to being adopted into his family as sons and daughters, it is not God who has changed, but it is we who have changed. God changes us by his Holy Spirit, and we are able to see God in a new light. And another application of God's immutability is that because God does not change, his word, the Bible, will not change. He will never go back on his word, as he tells us in Psalm 119, verse 89. It says that his word is forever settled in heaven. God and his word can forever be relied upon because he does not change. His unchanging essence is the foundation for his unchanging word that is settled forever in heaven. And because God does not change, it is impossible for him to lie or go back on his promises. Because God does not change, his new covenant with his church will never change. God will always be in covenant relationship with his people, the New Testament church. God's salvation, therefore, is an everlasting salvation. We who believe in Jesus have eternal life now. We are saved forever in Jesus Christ, because God will never go back on his new covenant promises to us, that he will forgive us for our sins, that he will put his law into our hearts, that he will write his law on our hearts, and that he will give to us his Holy Spirit to change us and make us new, and to put the fear of God in our hearts. And so we can say with the old hymns, "My name from the palms of his hands eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace." And, "Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure." For a church that is suffering and going through trials and persecutions, God's immutability is a comfort. It is directly related to what we are going through, because God's promises to us do not change. God's unchangeableness gives us hope in the face of suffering, because God will never go back on his promises, and he will bring us safely home to heaven. He will keep his word to us and deliver us one day from this evil world. He will send to us his son Jesus, who will rescue us from this world of pain and suffering that has fallen. And that is the exact point that the author of Hebrews makes. The author of Hebrews writes to a suffering church in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 17 through 18, about God's immutability. He says, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us." And those two unchangeable things in Hebrews 6 are God's character and God's covenant. Because God's character doesn't change, his covenant will not change. His new covenant with his church will never change. And therefore, we can have hope that he will safely bring us to heaven one day, in spite of our sins and failures. And I love what the Puritan Thomas Watson had to say about God's immutability and how that's related to our salvation. Watson wrote, "When God calls a sinner, he does not repent of it. God does not, as many friends do, love one day and hate another. Or as princes, who make their subjects favorites and afterwards throw them into prison. This is the blessedness of a saint. His condition admits of no altercation. God's call is founded upon his decree, and his decree is immutable. Acts of grace cannot be reversed. God blots out his people's sins, but not their names. You see, it is only because of God's unchanging love toward us that we are not destroyed. If God could change, we would have no hope. How could we trust in a God who could change? God's immutability indeed is a comfort to his people, but God's immutability is a terror to wicked sinners who are unrepentant. God's immutability frightens those who are evil, because one day they will have to stand before this God who does not change. Because God does not change, his perfect standard of justice does not change. Because God is a perfect, holy, righteous judge, he must punish wicked sinners one day. He must punish those who are evil, because his standard of justice cannot increase or decrease. And that is the exact point that Malachi is making in Malachi chapter 3. You see, right before he says, "I, the Lord, do not change, and therefore you are not destroyed, O sons of Jacob," which is a comfort to God's people. God says this right before this in verse 5. In verse 5, right before verse 6, God says this: "Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change." Because God does not change, he therefore must punish wicked sinners. Because God does not change, his standard of justice is inflexible and unchanging. God cannot lower his standard, and he must punish those who are evil. And therefore, our only hope is in Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life we could never live, and died the death on the cross that we deserved. And we receive his righteousness and sinlessness by faith in him. God credits to us his perfect righteousness that we are accepted in God's sight. And that is how God can justify us, and how God can be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. God's immutability guarantees the certainty of his judgment, but it also guarantees the certainty of his love for his people and the changelessness of his promises to us who are in Christ. God will never go back on his word that he will punish wicked sinners who are unrepentant in hell forever. God will punish those who are evil if they do not repent of their sins and trust in Jesus Christ before it is too late. And he will deliver his people from this evil, wicked world. And so that raises a question for us. What shall we do in the face of coming judgment? What shall we do in light of the God who does not change? And the answer is that we are called to run to this God who does not change, to run to the God in faith, to this rock who is perfect and changeless, to run to the rock who is our hope, to flee to this God who is a shelter from the storm of coming judgment, to flee to the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, to flee to him and to find refuge in his tomb, to believe in his life, death, and resurrection, and to embrace him who is a friend of sinners. And even though the world around us is falling apart, God will never change. God will be there for you in your suffering because he is the great I Am, because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he will always be there for you in your pain and in your trials. And he will never change. Though you may change, though your circumstances may change, he remains the same. And he calls us to embrace him and to flee to him and to make him our rock who does not change, a fortress amidst the flood. And so let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you that you do not change, that your word does not change, that Jesus Christ does not change, that your spirit does not change. And we thank you, Father, for your promises that do not change. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us courage and hope in the midst of the trials we go through. Father, we pray that you would give to us hope and peace, that we would know exactly what to do. And Father, we believe that you have a perfect plan for us. And we pray that you'd give us the discernment to know what that plan is, that we would walk in it. Oh, Lord, may you be glorified in our lives this week as we serve you and others. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen.
And our benediction for today is from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 3 through 4, where it says, "For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His roof is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of faithfulness and without iniquity. Just and upright is he." And you are dismissed in his peace.